Father, we want to understand more of what it means to be the best dad ever, whether we are a dad ourselves or whether we long to be. Or Father, we just want to support dads that we know. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all those, well, those things I just read out from those text messages, well, they're great things, aren't they, about what it takes to be a great dad. Many of you might know that I am going to become a dad. August the 20th is the due date, so not far away now. And it's easy to start imagining what being a dad will be like. But people have warned me that actually being a parent is not easy. I've heard when the first child comes along that, well, it's a little bit like a kind of bomb going off in your house and life will never be the same. Someone else said to me that, well, once you've been a parent a while, it's hard to remember what life was like before. Well, in the bit which David just read to us, we get the Apostle Paul setting out what it means to be the best dad ever. It's from the letter, Paul's letter called Ephesians. And in that letter, Paul's been setting out God's master plan for everything, how Jesus is his son, already at work, taking a broken world with broken people and broken lives, and he's at work to rebuild it all. Jesus is rebuilding the world and rebuilding lives. And in the bit which David read to us, Paul started now to talk about how Jesus even wants to rebuild families. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at that bit today. We're going to see how so much of what he wants to say focuses in on dads. So let's follow through Paul's logic and see what he wants to say about being the best dad ever. Our first point to see is this: understand what your kids really need. See, I guess a big worry of most parents is how they can give their kids a happy life. We want the best for our children. We want them to have a great start in life so that they can live a long and fulfilled life. But what is it that our kids really need to have a fantastic life like that? I mean, there's lots of advice, isn't there, out there thrown at parents about this today. And it can feel overwhelming. But here, Paul narrows it down to, well, one thing he wants to say. He says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's saying that if children do what their parents tell them, then they'll have a long and happy life in front of them. Now, that might sound kind of obvious, doesn't it? I guess we, you know, if you're a parent, we all be used to saying things like, don't touch that hot oven, or have you done your homework, or be back before it gets dark. We say these things because we don't want any harm to happen to our children, and we want our children to have the best possible start in life. But what Paul's saying here in that reading, well, he's saying more than that. He's not just talking about kind of natural cause and effect. If you don't do this, things will go well for you. No, what he's saying here is he's quoting a promise from the Old Testament. And he points to that promise which was given to God's people. You see, the long life in the land was long life in God's presence. It's a promise, not that there would be no difficulties to face in life, but that we would know God's presence, his favour, his blessing in it all. It's a promise not just for physical happiness, but for spiritual happiness, real happiness, you could say. And that's what the "in the Lord" bit is about in that opening verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's talking to families who belong to Jesus, and he's saying, children, don't just obey your parents because of their authority. Obey them because you belong to Jesus, That means you're part of God's family, and God's promise is a promise for you. Now, I think we, if you're a child here, let me say, first of all, if you obey your parents because of Jesus, then, well, know that you're going to experience God with you. You're going to experience God's favor and blessing in your life. You'll know real happiness. And I think we all know this deep down, don't we? Whether or not we're kind of signed up as a Christian, when we get chance to pause from all the crazy business of life, especially family life, we know that, well, we have this deep down feeling that there must be more to life. Many of us at Christchurch have discovered that the key missing in life is Jesus Christ. When he's at the center of your life, then it feels like we've discovered real meaning and purpose in life. Is also what the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp, has discovered. Here's a quote by him. This is what he said. "There is nothing so important to me that I cannot bear to lose it. And that is why I find I have no reason to fear. The most important point is that this lust for life is connected to my faith. I am a Christian, and so I see life as a gift that should be enjoyed sensibly." You get what he's saying, isn't he? He's saying that life makes so much sense to him that he feels so fulfilled in whatever he does, whether victory or failure, because Jesus Christ is what gives his whole life meaning. So parents, let me say this. You need to understand this, that what your kids really need to have in life, to have real happiness and a great life ahead of them, is to put Jesus first in everything, including in obeying what you say to them. You see, as parents, you'll know that children go through different fads in life, don't they? I wonder what your kids into at the moment. And I bet whatever they're into is what they think will give them most happiness in life. And it will give them some happiness, of course. And as parents, there's huge amounts of pressure, isn't it? Maybe you feel that, to run around and make sure your kids have got everything and experience everything so that they can be happy. So they've got to have the latest toy. They've got to be able to have a phone where they can send text messages. They've got to go on amazing family holidays. They've got to get to the dance lessons and the football team and all the rest of it. And family life can just be so jam-packed with all those things. But Paul says it's not that which will actually make our children the happiest. You see, even if you look at the standard parenting advice out there, and you'll hear that what children need are things like, well, safety and security, stability and consistency, love and emotional support, education and positive role models and structure in life and all the rest of it. And of course, all those things are true. But as parents, we know that, well, we'll never be able to offer all those things 100% of the time. But what God's promise means is that if our children put Jesus first in everything, then they'll experience God's care for them. They'll know that they're part of God's family and know the real security and stability and consistency and support and love and everything else which, well, God gives, because he's actually the best dad ever. So then, what our kids most need in life? Well, is to put Jesus first in everything, including obeying you. Do that, and they'll experience God's promise. So first thing to see then is understand what your kids really need. Secondly, don't wind up your kids. Well, I don't mean here, never have a joke with your kids. I'm told that a previous minister here at Christchurch, Pete Jackson, loves a good wind up. And I'm told that one time he went to McDonald's, and when he got home, he said to his kids, "Look, I've been to McDonald's and I've got you a treat." And the kids are all excited. And then what do they do? He pulls out a bag of McDonald's carrots. Well, I don't know if your dad does anything like that to you or whether you do that to your children. I knew another dad in Cambridge who he had a daughter, a grown-up daughter, who loved to kind of talk and talk. And one day they were walking along a road, a pavement, and it was a bit kind of narrow, loads of people coming the other way. So he thought he'd pull a practical joke on her. She was ahead of him and she was talking away, just talking non-stop. He was meant to be listening. So what he thought he'd do is he'd quietly cross the road and walk on the pavement on the other side of the road. And she just kept walking along the road, talking and talking and talking, and no one was listening until eventually she spotted him on the other side of the road and he gave her a little wave. Well, I don't mean this about not winding up your kids. I'm certainly looking forward to the chance to have a bit of fun with the child which is coming. It's too enjoyable, isn't it, not to be the most embarrassing dad ever, especially with teenage children. But what I mean is about not winding up your kids is what Paul is saying here in verse 4. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. He's saying, don't wind up your kids and so make it difficult for them to obey you. It's easier than we think to do that, isn't it? I think it's easier than we think to actually make our children maybe a bit angry or resentful, or to just start pushing them away. Here are some of the ways I think we can do this. We can be a bit too strict. We can be inconsistent. You know, you say one thing and then you say another thing the moment later. We can tease our kids to the point that it starts to actually get them down. We can lose our temper with them. We can put our children down. And all those things can provoke your children to anger. And so Paul says, don't wind up your kids. Now, of course, it all flows out of what we've just seen about what your kids most need. Your children will experience real happiness if they put Jesus first in everything, including obeying you. So Paul says, don't make it difficult for them to do so. I once heard a dad say that he came to the point of realizing that the biggest problem in his parenting was not his kids, but his own heart. And so, mums and dads, you'll have to tell me if that's right. I can imagine how easy it is to lay all the blame on our kids for their bad behavior. But we also need to look at ourselves, don't we? Are we the reason we are often, things are often difficult? Are we actually winding them up? Now, I take it that fathers are particularly singled out here because they're meant to be the head of the household. God thinks that dads are meant to take the lead and set the tone. That's why it's so difficult when kids don't have a dad around or don't have a dad who tries to take responsibility. So that leadership means that when the dad winds up his kids, it's more damaging. It's not like the mum or one of the kids winding each other up. I mean, it's a bigger problem than that. The dad is meant to be the leader. And maybe if you're here, you're listening in, you feel like, actually, if I'm honest, I've got stuck in a bit of a bad pattern in winding up my kids. And I can't see how to get out of it. And I can't see how to change myself. And I think so many dads feel like that. But just keep listening in for a moment as we now listen to the positive side of being a dad. So understand what your kids really need. Don't wind up your kids. And lastly, show them Jesus in all of life. You see, the negative in verse 4 we've seen, but now let's finish with the positive. Paul says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Those words, bring them up in the discipline and instruction, are standard buzzwords for good parenting. It's about raising children to become adults, correcting and disciplining them, giving them advice and guidance so they're ready for life. Standard buzzwords for parenting, but the difference is in those last three words. Of the Lord. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, Paul's instruction to children was to obey their parents in the Lord, and so their fathers are to raise our children in the Lord as well. He's talking about Jesus, and he's saying, bring up your children knowing Jesus and seeing life, well, seeing Jesus in all of life. That's what it means to be the best dad ever. It all flows out of what your kids really need, of course, isn't it? If what your kids really need to have real happiness in their life is Jesus, then, well, then there's nothing greater that you can do than bring up your children knowing Jesus and seeing him in all of life. It will mean, yes, spending time with your children, and in all that you do with them is to bring in a bit of Jesus. So, for instance, let me give you some examples. They've been naughty. So, well, say to them, shall we say sorry to Jesus and ask him for his help to change you? You've had a nice day with them. Well, lead them and say, well, shall we give thanks to Jesus in Jesus' name for this great day we've had? They're tucked up in bed. What do? Well, you read them a story, a Bible story about Jesus. They've been kicked by their brother. Well, remind them that Jesus said to be nice to people who are nasty to you. They're worried about something at school. Well, say Jesus is with them and pray with them. They're complaining they don't have the latest toy. Well, remind them that real happiness is found in Jesus and being in his family. They're feeling unsure about themselves. Say that they belong to Jesus and so are part of God's family and are secure in his love. In all of life, look to bring something of Jesus in at those key moments. Paul's saying, put Jesus first in your family life together. I mean, we just sang that song, didn't we? Don't build your life on sandy ground, but build your life on rocky grounds. And that rocky ground, what is it? Well, it's Jesus and his teaching. And the same is true for your family life together. Build it on Jesus. And the great news is that when Jesus is at the heart of your family life, then Jesus will be at work in your family life, rebuilding it. He'll help you not to wind up your kids, and he'll give your kids a whole new reason to respect you and listen to you. And as they put Jesus first in everything, well, they'll come to experience God's promise of real happiness. So Paul says, fathers, you are to take the lead in this. And it can be easy to think, well, I'll leave that to the kids' mum, or I'll drop them off at church or Explorers Club or Breakout and I've done my bit. But Paul is saying, yeah, sure, all of that. But Paul's saying, take the lead. Set the tone for your family. The children and youth leaders, yes, they're there to help you, but not to take over. Partner with them. Take the lead with your children. Now, let me just finish by saying, I know that as I say all this, that different families are in very different places and different dads are in very different places listening into this morning. But for all dads listening in, I wonder, what is the one thing which you think God might be saying to you this morning? Is it, well, I'm not a Christian yet and I need to start looking into Christianity myself? Is it, well, I'm going to resolve to get kids weekly to church when lockdown is over? Is it, I'm going to start praying with my kids before lights are out? Is it, well, I'm going to start using those family worship packs which Georgie sends out each week? Dads, we can long for the best for our kids. We like to be the providers and the protectors, and that's great. But Paul says, provide and protect, not just physically, but spiritually as well. We provide and protect in all the basics of life. We give them food and clothing and look after them. But why not provide and protect in the most important way? To do this will take guts and courage. But I reckon our wives and our kids will give you loads of respect for taking that step. And even if they don't, God certainly will give you loads of respect for it. So will you take up the challenge to be the best dad ever. Amen.